Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Rivals Do Wrap Up podcast for the finale. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I hope we still have some listeners tuning in who are not devastated that Eric Stein is not a regular guest. I think we may have made a major miscalculation by even having him on in the first place.
Yeah, we like set the bar way too high, and now the drop off. Oh my god, we got to deal with these two hooligans again.
Yeah. So sorry to everyone. Eric is not here. But on that note, I do want to just thank all of the guests that we had this season. Eric, Mike Bloom, Colin Stone, Dane, I don't know your last name, and Johnny Langan.
Williams.
And I also realize that we've had 5 men on and no women, and I am part of the problem and will work to rectify that next season, I promise.
Isn't that just, that's because men are better than women, Allie, come on.
But it doesn't change the thanks to these 5 fine gentlemen. So thank you. In the spirit of thanks, Brian.
Yeah, this was probably had to be the season we've had the most people on, right? Ever? Probably more than everything else combined. So shout out to us for being inclusive.
Yeah, I think it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
mixing it up. But in the spirit of thanks, also thank you to our 5-star reviewers. AJB208, Anari, Jackson Kruger, You Miss Challenge Fan. And because I don't know, will you be watching the Olympics this year, Brian?
If I stumble upon it, I won't be seeking it out.
I believe it starts tonight, but I'm kind of like you. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it does, but I mean, I like the winter ones better because I like the one with the sweeping and the little ball on the ice.
Oh my god, you like curling?
Okay, yeah, so curling.
Okay, well,
just because I never understand what's going on and they're like so intense about it, and it looks like the one Olympic activity I could do. So that's why I like it.
I have like PTSD when I make fun of you and people get mad at it. So it is taking every bit of anxiety that I have to suppress everything that I want to say.
Don't hate on curling.
But in the spirit of the Olympics, I want to thank Leah Cupcake on Facebook, who sent us screenshots of our Canadian 5-star reviews. So running those down, Dunkin' Donuts 88, Ali DQ. Oh my god, I mispronounced my own friggin' name. That wasn't my review though. Ray Sa, Review 0070, Care Bear Cooks, Shlong Grande, Corey Rad, Jedi Jess Small, and the Zeddy Boy. So thanks everyone all season for your love and feedback and abroad.
Shout out to you guys.
Brian, I'm waiting for you to say that you have a correction from last week.
Shit, what's the correction? I'm blanking.
I have a correction, but you have a major correction. And
oh, you know what? I stand by what I say. I may be wrong, but that's just an opinion. So.
What? Literally, almost every other time we could come in and say, like, it was just my opinion. This was like mathematical fact.
Look, if you want to treat math as fact, that's your opinion. I choose to treat math as just like, you know, someone's like assumptions and what they think is true. So that's just the way I do life. If you want to do it the other way, that's on you. You know, we each do it. We each live our own way.
Okay, so I have no problem saying when I've been wrong. And I want to say that I was wrong last week. Christina Brown on Twitter pointed out that we really like came for Sarah not defending, or maybe I came for Sarah for not defending Cheyenne, and kind of let Vince and Johnny off the hook, which is a major oversight. I also was like having some sort of like out of body podcasting experience that like Eric was on the podcast and just like everything went off the rails. But I missed a great opportunity to shit on Vince and Bananas, and for that, I'm sincerely sorry. But I think it's just that I expect more from Sarah, which is unfair. So that's something that I wish I had done differently. Brian, do you have anything? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was wrong. Yes, the pulling of the corks, there is no order that matters, okay? Wikipedia got me.
All right, so I've wasted enough time, four minutes to be exact. And I'm going to throw it to a new friend of the podcast, Eric Stein, to kick us off with this finale. He says, was I was I right about absolutely everything I said and predicted? I can answer that for that. Oh my God, I wish I could read this question. Let's start again. So, new friend of the podcast, wish we edited this. Was I right about absolutely everything I said and predicted? I can answer that for you. Yes. Yes, I was. What do you think about that, Brian?
I can be honest. I don't remember what he said, so I'll assume what he said is right. So sure. Congrats, Eric.
All right. So let's talk about this final. I don't know. What are there, like two minutes to actually talk about the final?
Yeah, we were discussing about this offline, but the final itself is like, it's kind of fun to watch, but in terms of dissecting a final, it's just one long elimination. So there's nothing really to actually talk about. But thank you, MTV, for creating this twist. So we have a whole podcast to just dissect the Bananas and Sarah move. Let's do it.
All right. So we're just jumping right over it, which is fine with me.
But, I mean, we can talk about bits and pieces of it if you want.
No, it's all in context of the final decision. Like, the one thing that I will say that I was pleasantly surprised by is, and not everyone will agree, but I did think that all of the checkpoints, while mostly stupid, were kind of anyone's game. Like, I do feel like Sarah could have beaten Bananas in those. Like, it wasn't like as obvious as I thought it might be in terms of male advantage.
Yeah, all the checkpoints are pretty neutral in terms of who would have an advantage. Yeah, there was nothing. I mean, they didn't even do anything where you have to carry weight and they had to like specify it based on each person. So they did that pretty well. But I'll say it kind of took away from the grander scheme of a finale or final because they had to do this stuff that the final itself just was not impressive at all. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it was the classic, the momentum was killed. Yeah, I mean, I think if this were a final where it was like three strong teams that I was interested in watching, I would have been annoyed. But the fact that this final really needed this twist to kind of save it at all. Like, the only amount of intrigue that came from this was because of the final twist.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's partly why they did it going in, because they just figured Bananas and Sarah are going to stomp these teams. We need something to make it interesting, so let's do this. Because otherwise, yeah, this would have been a complete snooze fest all going in. And normally there's always parts of a final where I'm like, okay, this is why I would never in a million years do the show, because I can never in a million years do this. But it didn't, like, I'm not going to say I would be able to do this final because I would probably die after like an hour. But it didn't seem that challenging of a final.
Well, Mike Bloom noticed that also, and he said, did it seem to anyone else like production was sort of yada-yadding the grandeur of the final challenge like they usually do to pimp the twist? They climbed the highest they've ever climbed on the show, but there wasn't as many big sweeping shots as there were in something like the Free Agents finale.
Yeah, I mean, even on the mountain, all they did, they really yada-yada the climb. They showed like a stream of water to like hop over, and then they just showed like Sarah staring off and looking at mountains, and that was it. But yeah, there was no big shots, there was nothing big about it. Like, I remember of the, I think it was the first X's, they had them literally standing like a peak of a mountain, and it just looked so monumental that they climbed this thing, and like this MTV show is taking them to do this thing, and here it's like, all right, they're like standing on like a big hill, like what's the big deal?
Yeah, I want to assume that it wasn't because it wasn't difficult, but I feel like we've had to say that for the last couple of finals where we're like, we know this had to be difficult, but it didn't look that hard. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Yeah, that definitely the strenuousness of the challenge was certainly not, of the final was certainly not the highlight of this episode, which is what it usually is.
Yeah, I mean, there was no big physical exertion at all other than just like walking and climbing. Like, there was nothing to carry. There was no like canoeing or like, and there was nothing. It was just walking and then doing mental things. That was basically what it was. And I guess some running, but
yeah, no, they definitely was downplayed. I still would not have been able to do it, but
I probably wouldn't be able to do it either. As I said that on my couch while I'm eating potato chips watching, but all this in context.
I was in Cape Cod the past 3 days, and to get to the beach, you have to like climb this like complete vertical sand dune. And then I was watching the challenge and I was like, I could barely get up the mountain. Like, I can't. But I was with my friend John, who has never seen an episode of the challenge. And while we're watching this, to talk about Devin and Cheyenne first, he just was like, they don't seem like they belong there.
Yeah, that's
like,
about
funny
right.
You should say that.
Yeah, because they really probably don't. But you know, here they are.
What did you make of their final performance?
Again, because the final didn't seem that bad, I'm happy they got through it. I'm happy they didn't quit. I never want to see people quit in a final. It just really makes me so upset. I hate saying that. So I'm glad they powered through it. And shout out for Devin for being a very good partner to Cheyenne throughout the whole thing. He seemed to keep her spirits up. They did a good job. So shout out to them for being the first Are You the One team to cash.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. I think I got a little disappointed that it was like they became the like Devin of like just trying to finish, but they did it in a very female Devin, and they did it in a very funny way. Like like every time we cut to them, I wasn't frustrated. I was laughing. So if that's all they can bring, then I enjoyed it.
I like that they didn't seem to make too big a deal out of like the just let's just finish. Like I feel like when Devin did it, it was like such a big thing of just her. She was just stressing out the entire time of like, I'm just going to finish. I'm just going to finish. I didn't get the sense they made that big a deal out of like, I'm just want to finish. Like there was a few comments here or there, but they were contending for a little while. It was up until basically the mountain climb where they were just getting slaughtered. And I guess the food eating because they sucked at that. But everything else, they were pretty much in it with everyone else, which kind of added to that appeal.
I think they fell to last place the second checkpoint and never came back from it.
Yeah, they were last the whole way, but they weren't like so far out of it that they were like not even in eyesight outside of the mountain climb. It's maybe I could be wrong, but they were always like seemed like a few minutes behind everything.
I'm willing to give more credit, even if it's more credit than due, to Team Princess, because by the end of this episode, I was completely Team Princess. Like, they totally won me over. And it's amazing because I keep looking to Kiki's Twitter. No response to this. Like, I'm like so upset that she's not like, hey, guys, this is the same guy that totally screwed me over. But I'm like completely on Team Devin now.
Yeah, Devin seems like the nicest guy, right? You see this one guy, he's like building his partner up, really encouraging her. And then you look to the other side, you see someone else taking $125,000. He's like, yeah, Devin's not so bad. Devin's a pretty nice guy. I forget what he did to Kiki.
Before we move on to our second place team, I do want to say in terms of like the stump sleep challenge, sleeper stump. Was that even what it was called?
Yeah, I think so.
So normally, like I know Eric last week said that he liked the like when they're just waiting for the subway in Germany that never comes. I think the friend or foe twist made this way more interesting, where you can't really be like, it's not nice of you anymore to stand on the stump. Like you see each team like exchanging pleasantries like, oh no, you sleep. Like Vanessa, like you're sick. Like you get some good sleep. Like I'll tough it out on the stump.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And every time they change, they can't be like, no, I want some stump time. You're not going to beat me. Like I want these 2 points. And it's very funny to watch them like dance around each other to try to get the 2 points. So I think that made what is normally a boring challenge, in my opinion, more interesting.
Yeah, that was when we got like the meat of each team discussing what they were going to do. It seemed like there was a lot of discussion of, you're just being nice to stand on the stump. No, but you're really just being like manipulative to get the point. And they actually made this worth 2 points, was kind of interesting, especially this was the one they didn't like have direct times for. But it was just great to see the actual discussion of it. And for the people sleeping, it's not even like you could even get great sleep, because what if you just accidentally sleep for like 7 hours? Like you don't have an alarm clock that you could just set, like, all right, I'm gonna wake up at an hour, unless you can have like a Kramer mental alarm. But like I don't see how you're getting that great of sleep if you're trying not to sleep for too long.
Yeah, I noticed you tweeted something to the effect of like, oh, shady, they're not giving us the point total. I feel like there's a reason we don't see all the votes cast on Survivor. Like there's like I'm not the referee. Like I'm not here to determine the fairness or if the winner they say won actually won by the amount they say. Like I feel like there would be zero suspense if we saw like the time flash for every single time.
I wouldn't have minded if they didn't reveal all the points until the end, but it was just weird that they just kept this one thing aside that was worth 2 points, which was clearly going to be the big swing in a lot of the team's decision. And they just kept this aside where even for them, they don't know. Like everything else, they each knew who would win just because they're doing an activity right in front of them, but they don't know. And I don't know if it would have taken anything away from the end if you knew going in, okay, Bananas is going to be making this decision when they climb. Because then if anything, it may have added more intrigue. Like what if Sarah just feels like, oh, what if he's actually going to throw it? Maybe I should suck and we can get second. And that way he won't have an incentive to throw it. So that could have been an interesting wrinkle if they wanted to include that in it too.
Well, she still could have done that. I don't know. I think like, yeah, it's the only one they could have not shown us the point total towards, what you said. Like, and I think it would have been terrible to go into that climb if Bananas knows he's the winner. Like, I just think that would have broken it, right? Because then Sarah just sits down And then it's like, all right, well, this is broken. I think it would have been better. It's better to get the moment that we got than to get Sarah on strike.
Yeah. I was just so looking forward to, like, oh, there's going to be no monkey business, or at least potential monkey business in this final, because they're doing everything with clear timestamps. And then it's like, oh, never mind. Here's the most important one, and they're leaving it to the end. So yeah, it was a little frustrating.
I'm here to be entertained. I'm not here to be, like, the challenge officials. Like, at this stage, a show that's been on 28 seasons, like, we hear everything that happens. Like, that's, I just give it up to the universe. I don't care. Like, I just, I don't think for a second that the person who didn't get on the stump first was there the longest. I think that that's the crucial mistake. Like, the girls let all their male teammates get on the stump first. I think that's when you had the advantage.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you're going to sleep for much longer than you anticipate sleeping. I know they all switched roughly at a half hour, but once you get, I don't know, once you start, I feel like that was the kiss of death.
Mm-hmm. It was weird that Sarah's like illness come back up the next morning. Why was she like only sick for like that one segment?
I don't know. Someone wrote, like, is Sarah sick at every final? I don't know. I think it was only important because it was how Bananas was able to say, like, you sleep, I'll stand here. Right. Like, you're sick. And she had nothing really to say. She needed the sleep.
I'll bite the bullet.
If it were any sort of advantage, I sound sick all the time. Like right now, for example. Okay, so let's like dissect Vince and Jenna here coming in second place. We got a couple of questions. At the end, TJ says that they were only separated by 4 minutes.
They said they were only separated by 4 minutes by the end, or I thought he said going into the last part it was only 4 minutes.
I didn't watch it that closely, so yeah, I don't know.
I think it was going into the climb it was 4 minutes, and then it was.
That's such a weird thing to say, though.
Yeah.
But maybe it was so then, because it did seem when Sarah was like surveying the land, it was like she had no sense of urgency.
Yeah, it seemed like they beat them by so much that it was like, if they only won by 4 minutes overall, then that means they were losing going into the last part.
All right. So either way, Kristen Canaris says, were you shocked that there were supposedly only 4 minutes between the top two teams?
If you told me that going into the final, yeah. But the way it was playing out, I mean, Vince, the way he murdered that food eating challenge was so impressive, more impressive than anything he's ever done on his two seasons. So you got to give him credit for that. And he only really crapped out like for one small moment, it seemed like, during the climb. So he had a pretty impressive final overall.
Yeah, I was going to say Jenna and Vince really, I think, surprised me. You know, whatever people want to say about them getting carried to the end, whatever, like they performed. I'll say they performed. And even against Bananas and Sarah, like even through those four puzzle checkpoints and eating checkpoints, like to keep only 4 minutes of space between somebody who's supposedly a puzzle master and you're like supposed to be dumb as rocks, like that's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about not the chances of them winning, but the chances of them finishing third. And obviously that clearly wasn't going to be the case as this final went along. So yeah, they did a great job, and it sets Vince up to be to do well going forward. Like, he could be someone we could think of that could win just because of how well he did here. I think
the one thing I will say is Vince tweeted out, I guess Zach Jackson, someone wrote to him on Twitter and said, how is that for your first final? And Vince wrote, brutal, flat land, and the outcome is 100% different. Easy to say now, though. I mean, bullshit, Vince. First of all, have you never seen the show? Obviously, it's not going to be a completely flat final unless you're in Germany running around a racetrack. But it's like, all right, Vince is like already like, oh, I would have won if there wasn't a mountain.
Yeah, or if there was any other things to do, if it was just running straight. Yeah, congrats. That'll never happen. But sure, if that's the final, then go for it.
And then right before we get to the moment everybody wants to talk about, Anna Jose says, does Devin crack the all-time top five baby rookie seasons, and how will he do in the future?
I want to be optimistic about his future because he was such a compelling or an interesting and funny newbie to have on, but he's got to bulk up a little bit because he's not the most athletic dude, and he's going to struggle, and having the luck of the Irish to pick little skulls out, it's only going to carry you for so far. So I want to be optimistic, but I'm worried.
I think he's in a great social position with all sides. Like, I do think even, well, I guess not until he called out Bananas at the final, at the reunion, but it did seem like during the season, he put himself in a really good social position for the future. And I do think this is jumping ahead a little bit. There is something to be said about we didn't lose.
There is.
It's not good enough to be a six-time, seven-time champion, but they didn't lose. And I do think that the final demonstrated that Cheyenne was the weak link on the team.
That's
we
true.
Don't know how Devin would have fared otherwise. But yeah, obviously looking at him, like, he's not the most brawny guy. But I am hopeful for him in the future. I definitely think he's going to be asked back, like, for the next 10 seasons.
I mean, look, if they keep bringing on, like, the Nates of the world from Mario the One, then he's not going to look as bad in comparison. So he's got that going for him.
All right, so let's get to your boy.
So we all thought going in he would do it. When it came down to it, did you think he would actually do it?
I will say I was on the edge of my seat. Like, my heart was pumping. My adrenaline was rushed. Like, I was stoked. Like, Brandon Spears and Will Simon both echoed kind of the same sentiment. Brandon said, Bananas may or may not be a piece of shit, but was that one of the most thrilling endings to any season of reality TV ever? I wouldn't say ever, but this...
I don't know. I would say ever.
I'm not going to say even close to ever, but this was... Because, again, we all knew he would do it. And this has happened on other shows.
I don't know. Like, we could know he's going to do it, but there's a difference between really thinking strongly he's going to do it and then actually, like, doing it the way he did. I don't, like, you'll have to tell me. How did it actually go down on Bachelor Pad where they, like, revealed that I'm going to take... Did the person have to say the words, or was there just, like, revealing marbles in your hand that you're like, how did that actually go down?
So they were, like, they had, like, inserted, like, a printed card that said, like, split or keep, whatever, and it was covered, and they had to, like, reveal it. So they, like, pulled a cover off of it, revealing their choice. So she revealed first, I believe, and then he revealed that he was going to keep it, and she said split. So what was more exciting is, it's like, if Sarah had had a choice, like, if Sarah said keep.
But to me, that even adds more to why this is so brutal, because to actually have the gall to say the words out loud to your partner when she's right there, I'm gonna take the money, like, that is so much worse than, like, handing in a piece of paper, or, like, if they had, like, two stones and they reveal what color, like, to say the words, that's I don't know how many people, like, everyone would say, like, they may want to do it or they may not, but I don't think that many people would actually go through doing this no matter how they feel about their partner.
I think they also had to say it when they revealed it. Like, so for that, I've decided to, and then they reveal it, like, keep it, whatever. But this, I will say, is this was more exciting for me than Bachelor Pad. Cause again, like, Eric said last time, or maybe I said last time, whatever, like, she was a total bitch to him the whole time. And so it was like, it was the reverse. It was like if somehow Cheyenne could keep the money from Vince, you know, like, it was like, yes, you were, like, rooting for him to keep it. What made it even more exciting is that Vince and Devin have these next, like, beautiful moments of, like, I wish we could have won more. Or, like, Vince, like, we were 50-50. I respect her. Like, everything Vince said was just, like, needle. Like, I respect her. I couldn't have gotten here without her. We're splitting it, no question. And I don't know. I just, like, I loved this moment. It's controversial. It's making some people not even want to watch the show anymore. But
they'll be back.
We'll see. I'm going to read their question, but I don't know. I just thought the other thing, though, I do want to say that was, like, a little gross is, and again, I really do feel like MTV did everything to at least make it appear like a woman could have also beaten their male partner. But it was, like, a little icky that, like, all the girls had to be like, oh, I hope this guy gives me my half of the money. Like, that was, like, kind of gross to me. So that was just, like, an unfortunate circumstance. Yeah. But I don't think it was rigged.
No,
or definite that a guy would win.
No, I mean, when they created this twist for, you can say whatever you want, whether it was rigged or not, but they, in their minds, their hope when they created this twist was Bananas would win. And then whatever he did, I think they were probably fine with. They probably would have wanted him to do what he did just for the sheer drama of it. But I think they could have also made a story out of him taking quote unquote the high road and splitting it. They could have made a story out of that too, but this is what they wanted when they created it. They wanted Bananas to win and have the ball in his court. But even just the way throughout the final, they were setting up, dropping so many hints of the foreshadowing of, do I trust them? Yeah, I trust them. Do I really going to trust them? Yeah, I think I'm going to trust them. I really trust them. And that's what almost made me doubt it more, because I felt like they were beating you over the head with the fact that she's about to get just blindsided and slaughtered. And are they really actually going to do it? And then I sat up in my chair when he said, I'm going to take the money and run. And I couldn't believe he actually did it. And I will say, I think it was like Mount Rushmore of epic reality TV competition moments of our finales.
Even if Sarah had won, I still think it would have been just as interesting. Like, I do agree that, like, in the ideal, like, in the, you know, quote, writer's room of this situation, like, the ideal situation is Bananas lays Sarah out here and becomes, like, the biggest villain in history. Mm-hmm. But even if Sarah had won, like, I still think I would have been just as interested. Right. But we have a ton of questions.
Yeah.
I will say I did laugh when they flashed Sarah first place $0.
That's so brutal. And we'll get to it. But the one of the more like underrated, heartless or ruthless moments of this whole thing was that brutal applause they had to give at the reunion for the winners when they said, oh, let's give it up for Bananas and Sarah after they did the segment. I thought that was so ruthless to do that to Sarah. It's like, oh, let's give it up for Sarah for winning. Congrats, Sarah, on the win.
This whole finale and reunion was totally savage. All right. So Jeff, I feel like the only way to discuss this is to just go through the like thousand questions. Yeah, people
basically
had
every question we had was in some degree about this moment. So which again is why I think it was so great. And even more so because Bananas was involved. Like, this is the, whether you love him or hate him, this is the guy of this show. And to have this moment be involving him, it just takes this to like an nth degree.
No, it's very like...
Like if Vince and Jenna win and Vince steals it from Jenna, this moment is not nearly as impactful as it is with Bananas.
I wouldn't winning. Just... Right. Bananas is definitely a part of it, but the fact that it's Bananas and Sarah is bigger. Like if it were Bananas and Nani, it wouldn't be the same. So it's not just because like Bananas is involved. It's because
it's the
accusation heard around the world from last season of like 5 seconds ago, which is maybe why this season was moved so close to the other one.
Yeah.
Because it's just basically like, this is part two of a very frustrating part one. And there's going to be a lot to talk about. So Jeff Satora says, do you think the move by Bananas to Sarah could affect him being able to make alliances in future seasons? I feel like they should have already known he'll do anything to win, but this is proof that can't be denied.
If everything Bananas did for the first 12 and 9/10 seasons of his career on this show led you to believe that you think you can trust him, then you're an idiot. And if this really takes you over the edge, then you're an idiot. Like, he cannot be trusted, but people will still trust him. He will come back, I think. And if he does, I'm sure the new Ari the One kids will fall right in his lap again and they will do his bidding because that's what he does.
If I just look at the, and I didn't go to every single person for the reaction, but the people on Twitter on the show who reacted to this, I mean, the people on Sarah's side were like Amanda, Devin, Nani, herself, Sarah, you know, like pretty inconsequential people going forward. People who were tweeting on behalf of Bananas, Zach, Wes, Tony, Vince, like in terms of the people who are support, I think a lot more people are supporting Bananas in terms of the game than are against him. And that's exactly what I predicted last week, which is this would turn around. No one would even care. And we're just going to move forward as like the guys are, you know, I was going to say something I shouldn't say. What's it? Oh, like dabbing him or whatever. What's it?
What?
What's it called when you like hit knuckles? Fist bump.
Fist bump.
I was going to say something really inappropriate by accident. Anyway, so I think honestly, the consequences of this are going to be zero.
Yeah. And you want to know like the biggest reason why? Because it's a great fucking move. That's why. Because it's a great move.
Well, we can go into that. I don't think anyone really asked, like, was this a good move or a bad move? So yeah, where do you fall on this in reaction to this?
Unbelievably great. It caps off for him to, like, and it's very person by person. I think for someone like Vince or Devin to do it, I wouldn't agree with it because unless they don't ever want to do the show again.
For the same dollar amount? Assume it's the same dollar amount.
Yeah, same dollar amount. I think it's very specific why it's good for him because A, like you said, he probably doesn't have many more of these. B, this is his brand, this is his show. This move will propel him further on with whatever he wants to do. Everyone already hates him, so this outcry he's going to get on social media, if he even gives a crap, doesn't matter. Everyone hates him anyway. And the biggest thing is why even other people could do it. It's a hell of a lot of freaking money to just choose to give away to someone that you're probably really not even that friends with. So I fully support it 100%.
So people were tweeting at me like, can't wait for you to take bananas to task, like blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, Brian, what you were prepared to debate with me today on this fine afternoon. We're doing an afternoon podcast. My only issue with this is that in true bananas fashion, he can't just take 1 ounce of responsibility and just own his shit. I was actually so hopeful when he actually took the money. I was like, wow, absolutely flawless execution for him to say, like, there's no hard feelings. This is not because of what you did to me. Like, our beef is squashed, but I need to take this money. Like, I was like, okay, bananas, like, you worked with I for like every other reality show, if you work within the boundaries of the rules, you know, that's fine. And to a certain extent, it's a little bit dirty money. He's got bad karma amounted. That's he'll have to answer to that. That's just how I feel. But in terms of the game, he made great entertainment. It's the only I mean, even if he split it, it still would have been exciting. But it was a great moment in television. His personal responsibility at that moment was like admirable and shocking. And I was like, oh my God, bananas is actually owning something. And then all of that fell away almost immediately when Sarah started crying and people were making shocked faces. Then he started backpedaling on it and saying like, oh, well, how could I have known if you wouldn't have screwed me over and you did hurt me before? Not at all the same thing. And it doesn't even matter if it's the same. Just own it. You screwed her. It's fine. You was within your right. Just own it. I don't like that he acts like he's this macho tough guy and he actually is the biggest coward in the world because he can't just own his shit.
And I totally agree with the aftermath of it. I really wish he owned it because, and he like hints at it. He like even like on Twitter or even on the reunion, he like gives hints of just fully embracing himself. He's like, oh, he says things like everyone hates me anyway. Like I would have done this to my own mother. Like just, he's like tense. He's like teases you with embracing the dark side fully. And it's like, just don't back away from that. Don't say like, oh, you did this to me. I'm just equaling the score. Be like, you know what? I'm the freaking bad guy. I'm doing this because I want to cash the check. And I'm doing this because I'm the best in the world and I beat you. So you have to deal with it. Sucks to suck. Just say that, be the villain and embrace it. Oh, it's so frustrating because he really like he teases us with it and then he just backs away from it.
See, I don't agree with that at all in terms of like, to me, it's not even close to teasing us. Like the fact that he only gives hints of it is that he doesn't own it at all. Like it's not that he's like, oh, it's he's so close to owning it. Like he just
no, I don't think he's that close. In my own head is like, oh, he's about to own it. He's going to own it and he doesn't do it. In his head, he's probably he just spins his wheels, does whatever he does. In my mind, I want him to embrace it and I hear clips and sound bites of him that I think are him embracing it, and then it's just not.
Okay, so Jim Rosario says, if Rob came up with a sizable bonus for hosting the show, but gave you each the option of splitting the bonus or taking it all, what would you do?
I would need to know the size of it, but I would try to take it all.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably begrudgingly split it, but I would bitch about it to every single person who would listen behind your back about how it was so unjustified. but because, again, like I said last week, and I could have answered that for Brian that he would have taken it all. But the thing I would have said that I said last week is like, for me, like how people view me in society affects me, right? Like not to the point like, oh, you write a little nasty review. I'm fine with that. But I like don't want to be known in my future as somebody who like, quote unquote, effed over somebody for just like for 6 figures. It just wouldn't be worth my reputation. But so that's just the answer to that. But I'm not actually faced with the decision. Right. The one thing I do want to talk about is, so my friend who was watching it for the first time, and we've gotten a lot of comments about this, like alluding to this. Let's break down the 6 people. And is this actually a life-changing amount of money for them? So let's say it's, what is it that he actually, like $134,000 or something, like $135,000?
Yeah, because it's $275,000, right? So whatever that is.
All right. So let's say after taxes, it's like,
let's just round it up to 280. Yeah. Let's round up to 280. So it's 140 each. So you probably get what, 80? So he gets another 80 grand, probably 77.
All right. 70, so, 80 grand. So for my, in my, the answer I gave to my friend was Johnny's definitely well paid from these challenges. His girlfriend makes a lot of money, but like, this is his career. So it's not like he's like going home to a job that's going to pay him 80 grand a year or more. Other than that, I don't know if you agree. Like, I do think this is like significant money. Like, people are saying like, oh, that's nothing. Like, to me, it would be like profoundly significant money. For Sarah, who's also entering grad school, I think it would be profound. For Bananas, I don't think it's insignificant.
I mean, look, is it money that he like can retire for the rest of his life? No, but you're not going to get that on any type of game show. Even if you win Survivor, you can't just retire based on the $1 million. Like, that's not life altering that scale money. But to say 80,000 for any regular person in life isn't life changing, that's like being a money hardo. $80,000 is a lot of fucking money just to add to your bank account for at a poof like that. So to say that's not life changing to, you know, pay off loans, put buy a house, do whatever you need to like put money for. Like, it is life changing. It's or if you want to say life helping, whatever it is, super life helping, it's super life helping. So don't say it doesn't matter. Like, those, if that doesn't matter to you, then you know what? Congrats, because then you're set for life. So good for you.
For anyone who is commenting that this money doesn't matter, we will accept $80,000 sent to us. P.O. Box. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have P.O. Box. Can't afford it.
Yeah. I that's like one of the things that really just pissed me off. Will say, oh, it's not really life-changing. You know what? $80,000 is a lot of freaking money.
It's not. I just like really do feel like your reputation's not worth that. But like you said, his reputation's already been blown.
What was Johnny Bananas' reputation anyway?
In terms of our podcast, like, or for anyone, like, it's just like $80,000 really isn't worth my reputation. But if I was already a hated person on reality TV, it'd probably be different.
And it's also the context, really, if you think about the way this is presented to him, because it's not really that he's screwing. Like, you could he could spin this and be like, I didn't really screw you at 80,000. I'm just choosing not to give you 80,000. Because technically, the way this was set up was, because he beat her in the final, he won $275,000.
That's semantics. That's not at all what happened.
But this is the way he could spin it.
First play, but
this is the way he could spin it, because that's technically the way it is. Is that he won this and could choose to give her her. Yeah, that's not the way he says it, but that's the way he could spin it.
That's not at all. I don't think he needs to spin it. I think he just needs to say, this was in the boundaries of the rules, so I took the money. But now start, you're doing exactly what he did, to backpedal and say that, oh, it was my money that I could have given to you. That wasn't how it was framed. It was first place wins $275. Yeah. First place amongst your team can choose what happens to that money. That's not Bananas' money and then he cuts her a check. So that's total bullshit. You had me until that. That's bullshit. I will also say that, to answer Jim's question again, is that Brian sold me out on Max's podcast for $0. So for $80,000, he would definitely take it. So maybe like, what, $50 from Rob?
What's the next question?
So Wendy Jong says, are there any other teams this season that would have had a player take all of the money if they came in first? So not even just the final three teams.
Riley definitely would have screwed over Jess. I think he would have screwed her over at third place money.
What's amazing is that I do feel like Jess would have split it, which is even makes it even more hysterical.
Yeah. But who else? I mean, I guess there's a chance that Tony or Camilla, I think they both could have taken the money and run.
It's so hard because for some of these people, we're seeing them like at week one or, you know, the first 4 weeks of the show. And if I were to say about like Jen and Vince or Devin and Cheyenne, like who knows what that would have been? Like a lot of what happened is like the evolution in their relationship. Like we could even just run down. I think Corey and Ashley would have split. But then, you say like, all right, so someone like Eric comes on who's been on reality television and says, there's not one genuine relationship from the show that I wouldn't have screwed over. Like none of these people are your real lives. It's like we're watching it and we've watched these people for 28 seasons and we're like, oh, like, Kellyanne and Jamie seemed really close. Like, they'd split it. But who knows? Like, who knows what Jamie has in his life to pay off or vice versa? Mm-hmm. So, it's tough. It's tough to say.
Agreed.
Wes, we know what he would have done, apparently.
Yeah. It sounds like Wes would have definitely taken the money.
All right. Emily Crow says, there's been some discussion over whether Sarah has been getting a positive or negative edit. I don't think she came off well. Apologizing to Johnny, insulting some of the other players. She definitely wasn't as likable as Cheyenne or Jenna. Were the editors trying to prepare us for Sarah being the only one screwed over?
I don't think she got a positive or negative edit. I just think she was who she was. I think she did. She said what she like. This was just Sarah. I don't think they skewed it any one way or the other.
Well, you have like Sarah saying that, like we talked about this last week, but like Sarah saying that she did pull Cheyenne aside and that wasn't shown, and like these things that she did do that weren't shown. But yeah, I mean, last week I speculated what Emily was saying, which is like, I dislike Sarah so much at this point that I'm not even going to care when Johnny screws her over. When it actually happened, I felt completely differently, just in terms of like, I do think the apologetic scenes and all of that was an attempt to make it look even worse on Johnny. Not to make Johnny look worse, but to mm-hmm. make it not inevitable. Like, if they were fighting this whole season, it would have been like, okay, whatever, Johnny took the money. But because we got beat over the head with how much they love each other, it was, I think it was actually building up to this, making this a bigger payoff.
Yeah. And I mean, but like Sarah, I mean, she, I think people didn't like Sarah because she was apologizing to Bananas. And I think she was just doing that to like help herself. So yeah, I don't see that how the edit skewed that in any way.
Wendy Jung wants to know, since theoretically MTV got the ending that they wanted, will they want to pull out this twist again in future seasons?
I hope they don't. I think as the way Bananas did, I think you take your money and run, because I don't think the circumstances would play out this way again. I think you drop this bomb once, you let it sit, and you drop the mic and go.
I mean, if we use Bachelor Pad just as the example, I mean, they did it every season. But the first winner chose to split it. And then I think that was the last season of Bachelor Pad, and then they redid the entire show. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, if they did this for the first Rivals, then I could see them keep doing it for more Rivals, but it was because they just brought it on for the third one, it doesn't make sense to just keep doing it.
Well, they've done that in the past, where like the first season of like one of the nickname shows is like, I'm trying to think of what it was, like The Inferno or something was like originally one thing, Real World versus Road Rules. I'm making this up. But like, they've changed things in the past. So I'm not just saying like now all the Rivals couldn't be this.
Sure.
But I actually want to look that up now because I feel like I'm going to get yelled at. So the Gauntlet changed. The Inferno changed too. Okay.
I wouldn't want them to. This is a good one-time thing. They maxed that of its potential. So I don't know like what they would gain from it to do it again. So
I was going to say it's broken out. I mean, AJ Mass, I think it was on Rob's podcast doing his archetypes. And he basically said, like, you keep twists until they're broken. And once they're figured out, like, you move on. And it's not that this was necessarily figured out, but I don't know what the next season of Rivals would be like. Like, I feel like they'd have to assure all the contestants that that won't be a thing. Because if this was front of mind the entire season, it would have been totally different. Mm-hmm. And you can't surprise the cast with this anymore because it's already been out there.
Yep.
Okay. Emily Barkin says, do you think there's a chance Bananas and Sarah made a deal outside of the show to split the money, but make good TV by letting the winner keep the money?
I don't think so. I think the hatred that Sarah had was real. I don't think that's, I mean, just look, if she's faking that, you know, she's got a future career ahead of her. She doesn't need grad school. So I really don't think so.
So she tweeted out, I agree with you. She tweeted out, someone asked her this and she wrote, nope, kept it all, but promised me he'd quote, hook me up with snowboard stuff. Yeah. Hashtag still waiting. Hashtag it's summer. Eye roll emoji. I mean, people also pointed out that like, it's totally against most reality TV show rules to do that. But apparently on Sarah's podcast, she said people make deals like that all the time. The other thing, if you can't tell that I'm stalling to look for this question, whatever, I'll say who said it when I find it later. But basically someone was like, did they bribe Bananas? I mean, everyone had their tinfoil hats on, which, mm-hmm. you know, I love. They didn't need to bribe him additionally. Like, they bribed him with the $125K right, that he was being offered.
Yeah, that was the bribe. They could offer him more money. He was already looked at as an asshole for taking more money. Why would taking more money do?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely think the way TJ framed the issue of like, you'll be the best person in challenge history. Like, how exciting would that be? The biggest money maker. You know, there was definitely pressure. I don't doubt that there wasn't pressure from producers to do so. Like, but in the loaded question sense, like, I really don't think there's any foul play in this at all, except for the fact that this was an option and he took it.
Yeah, exactly.
Marcy Gblitz wants to know, if Sarah had won the points, do you guys think she would have taken all the money or shared it?
I think she would have split it.
Why?
Because she clearly is a person that seems like she cares about what people think. And to make such a big deal about trying to mend fences with him all season and then just to go ahead and screw him again, then, I mean, that just seems so, would seem so out of character for her that I don't think she would do it. I think she 100% would have split it.
Yeah, I think what she had to deal with from last season would have made her split it. I also don't think that, like you have speculated, that she like made up with Bananas just in her best interest and she apologized because it was in her best interest. Like, I really do think he like got into her head. And like she said, that whole cool kids thing, like I totally believe she's susceptible to that kind of peer pressure. And yeah, as you said, it's not consistent with her character, whereas this is like not at all surprising that Bananas did this.
And yeah, I mean, as I do agree with the decision, like as we'll get to in the reunion, the decision that Sarah did and he did are so apples and oranges that it's like, it's in terms of like game stuff, it's not even like in the same discussion.
I thought you were going to say in terms of fruit. I was like, yes, apples and oranges. In terms of fruit, it's apples and oranges. Ashley Bedazowitz says, when we look back on the challenge from now on, will Bananas screwing over Sarah now be the first moment that comes to mind?
I still think of the banana backpack is still probably the biggest moment. But I mean, this is up there. Like, if he wants his own like positive top moment, like this is, I guess, in that discussion. But I think the banana backpack is probably still up the top one.
Yeah, I mean, I even think like the CT Adam fight is up there. Yeah. I think even Siobhan popping an implant is more memorable than this is going to be moving forward. Only because it wasn't surprising. Like, I echo what you were saying before in terms of like, even though you knew he was going to do it, was he really going to do it? But I think now in hindsight, so it was really enjoyable to watch. But in hindsight, it's like, okay, like Bananas after over and like then she never came back on the show.
Right. It almost made it more enjoyable having that really strong notion that he was going to do it, because it's like we were watching the final like with this whole idea that he was going to do it. And then to see him, it's just, first, I don't know why, just it was so much more satisfying thinking he would do it and then seeing him actually do it rather than just like having no idea.
Okay, so not everyone felt that way. Liz Irwin.
Shocking.
Liz Irwin says, I'm not going to watch the finale and I think I'm out on the challenge from here on out. I'm not here to watch the production company suck on Nana's banana. I'm really upset, which is like is the most amazing thing I've ever read. I'm really upset about this decision to basically give Johnny a chance to screw over Sarah. In fact, I'm so turned off by it that I actually think that when he called them to tell him he wouldn't do the show if she was on it, I bet they told him about this plan and that's why he, quote, forgave her. This has turned me off of the challenge. The sense of injustice and giving everything to Johnny is so infuriating. I think they've lost a viewer who's watched since day one.
I think she will be back to watch next season, especially since Bananas is not on. I think she will be back to watch next season, just like everyone else who says they will never watch a show because they don't like the way it ended.
I would start singing a song from Hamilton if I had any vocal range right now. But I'm upset because Liz Irwin asked a lot of good questions. But I'm also upset that you just said you think she'd be back, because if she's anything like me, I would now not watch just despite the podcaster. I don't know who said that. I get it. Like, I really do get it. I think actually watching Naya mistreat Sarah and Jordan and then everyone attack Sarah at the finale was more difficult for me to watch than this. Like, for some reason, because this was within the rules of the game, like some of the stuff that's happened was, it was more difficult for me to watch Cheyenne deal with Vinny and Johnny to a certain extent. I'm closing myself off from the reality of, if I were the person who had just given up my life for weeks, who worked my ass off with someone I hated, who really performed well and got to the end and then was robbed, I would be beyond Sarah belligerently angry. Like, I've gotten angrier in debates we've had on this podcast than Sarah got. Like, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, Sarah 100%, like, for as much as I agree with Banana's decision, Sarah 1000% deserves to be super pissed at him, at MTV, at everything. She deserves to be pissed. That is not without standing, 100%.
Yeah, so because we're commenting on the TV show, I mean, interpersonal interactions, like, we do comment about, but at the end of the day, we don't know these people. Like, we don't know how they live and act and whatever. And from a game move, I mean, it's like when you cut your best friend in Survivor in the final two, like, You know, you take money from them. Their second place money is a lot more than third place money. But again, I do respect there. I really did rack my brain to try to think of another reality show I could compare this to. But I do respect Devin saying, like, there's a big difference between effing over your competition and effing over your teammate. In this situation, I don't think I would have done it, but you operate within the rules of the game. It's a game.
I was just thinking about this. You brought this up about, like, if it's Survivor, like, you cut someone out just to get, like second place or whatever. But so we always want our reality game show contestants to be cutthroat. We want to see, like, these big moves of people playing to win and stuff like that. So why is there such hatred for this move? Like, isn't this just a great cutthroat move, thinking for yourself? Like, that's what we want in our reality show contestants, right? To play for themselves to win. Like, don't we hate it when, like, they get all caught up in the world of, like, these people with their friends that we just want to see them win? So why do people hate this move so much?
I think it's twofold. I think, one, we were told they're teammates, right? So it's hard to get around that. Like, the whole point of Rivals is you're supposed to get along with your rival. And there, while it would have been a boring final, there is something satisfying of, like, the grudge being squashed. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, where it's like, it kind of sucks because they squish these rivalries too soon. So it's like, I want to see Bananas and Sarah not working together, also hating each other. Mm-hmm. But if it's Rivals, we're supposed to see these great rivalries work together and come out on top. So to see Sarah and Bananas win does have a certain amount of closure to their story. We've been told their teams. So there's I don't know. We've never really seen someone, like, slit someone on their team's throat before. The other thing I think is, I actually was talking to Colin Stone about this, and the challenge is unique because we see these people season after season after season. So it's almost like we're more aware of their friendships than when just someone comes back for a Survivor season or someone comes back for a Big Brother season once. Right. Like, we move with these people. Like, we see them. They come back season after season. We get updates on their relationships with each other. We see them on Twitter. Like, there's something different about the fact that this is a cast of a consistent cast of people we are, quote, getting to know on television 5, 6, 13 seasons. And I think it makes it harder than just saying, like, you know, I told this story in the podcast when I was an asshole with Steven Fishback, and I was like, just slit each other's throats. Like, you're not real friends. Like, these people are real friends, and we want to believe these relationships. So it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit different. That said, I'm watching it as that was great television.
Yeah. Do you think the people who are so upset and, like, are saying, like, they would never watch all this stuff, if Sarah won and took Bananas' money, what do you think the reaction would be?
I just really don't think there's a situation where she would have done it. And that's what's so hard is, like, I want to go in this hypothetical with you, but I just don't see it ever happening. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, but yes, there's definitely, like, people would have felt vindicated potentially. But I hate Bananas more than most people. I mean, I guess not enough to tweet at him, so not more than a lot of people. But I dislike Bananas. I was not happy to see him take the money. I was not satisfied by this ending. It definitely left a bad taste in my mouth that he gets a reward that I don't think he fully deserved at all. But it didn't turn me off to the show, let's say. So I don't know. I do think it would have been different, but then I do think there would have been backlash from Bananas fans.
Of course. Of course. Just like we saw when she did her much less ruthless move to him. So.
All right. I'm stretching because it's about to go down.
Dun, dun,
it
dun.
Is about to go down. Okay, Andrew Styles, thank you for this question and for making it about to go down. Should MTV ban its contestants from podcasting in the future? Thanks, Sarah. I want to let you talk about this, Brian, but I can't because it's about to go down.
I could click my mic off and just put it down for a little bit if you want to just go on a run right now.
Okay, so we got a review about this, like, from a Bitter Betty, who I speculate is the same person who tweeted at me, but could be different people. And yes, it only takes two, maybe one person to get me fired up. I am, for anyone who doesn't know what he's talking about, and this is not directed at Andrew Styles, who seems to know his shit right now based on the question. in our preview podcast, we did not know what the finale would bring, yada, yada, yada. I reported on a podcast that Sarah did that was brought to my attention by a listener, but I also was just brought to my attention by my attention. And that was the Bananas Bashing podcast that Sarah did prior to the show being on the air. Two people are misdirecting their anger about this having been a spoiler at me. Like, my bad for taking more of my time to listen to something to report on. I go out into the world so you don't have to. I bring the most important nuggets here. Like, my bad. I am so happy to stop doing that. If that's like, I would love to just show up here, not having looked at anyone's Twitter, not having to listen to anyone's podcast. In order to have known that that was a spoiler, Brian and I would have had to been spoiled on this season because we speculated that maybe they don't win. Maybe she started a sex tape rumor. He started a sex tape rumor after the whole thing wrapped. Like, we don't know why Sarah hates him so much.
Oh my God, I want to live in that alternate world.
We also speculated that potentially Sarah would get kicks out of being like, I got you guys so bad because I released like a hate podcast and we're actually best friends. So for anyone who's pissed at me for trusting that MTV has their dogs on a leash and trusting that Sarah wouldn't be dumb enough to post complete spoilers before the season aired, needs to redirect that anger at Sarah and MTV. We are all in this together. Brian and I don't come in spoiled. We are average Joes watching the show, reporting on the drama with you, for you. And if you don't like it, you can either kick rocks or I can just stop doing the work because that would be probably more conducive to my law school schedule.
Ditto. Ditto.
I can't be more clear about how angry I am about that. We all got screwed. We all got screwed. But as Brian was saying, like, it didn't affect my enjoyment of the final. It didn't affect his enjoyment of the final. If anything, it was more like, could it really be possible that he's doing this? And again, if you don't like it, kick rocks. And I don't often say that to people who write negative feedback to us.
He could have just, like, what if he chose to split the money and then, like, just they got in a fight off camera about, like, he's still being not wanting to be friends? Or what if Bananas is getting married, didn't invite him to her wedding? There's so many things that could have been, like, what she was angry about.
I really thought it was all a setup at first. I listened to our preview podcast, and honestly, like, I feel bad that I just told people to kick rocks, but it's
kick rocks.
It's like, be mad at Sarah. She is on the show under contract and just basically said, I don't give a flying poop what I say to ruin your enjoyment of the show. I am here day in and day out, ruining my life to listen to these people. I am not the problem.
The fact that MTV lets her do a podcast discussing the current season is really one of the more asinine decisions in the entire world.
I think the reality is that she's not coming back and they're not going to like sue her. Because the money it would cost to, like, shut it down would be... Like, I just think they're like, fuck it, whatever.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. Get lost.
Stretch it out. Okay.
Give that guy the Francesa hand wave.
Hakuna Matata. Okay. Let's talk about the reunion.
Actually pretty compelling, at least the first part of it, because of all the Banana Sarah stuff. It was the first time in a while where I went into the reunion and be like, okay, I actually want to hear what these people have to say.
Not everyone felt that way.
Oh, there you go.
Gabby Gladney says, was that not the worst finale we've ever seen? And okay. I think she meant reunion, because then she says, they spent 10 minutes on a fake hookup, 10 on Wes's ass, 20 on Sarah and Johnny, and the rest was forgettable and non-interesting. Please just rant about this. And also, where is the petition to remove Nessa from hosting anything ever? Because she sucks.
I actually didn't think Nessa was that bad. I saw a lot of hate. I don't think she was that bad. She's not great. I mean, she's not like adding much, but I don't think she was taking that much away. Her pushing back on the Camilla hookup was super bizarre. But I mean, she has fine questions.
She had three things that I didn't like about it. And again, I've only watched it once. If I watch it again, I probably have two hands worth of things. One is the pushback on Camilla. Like, check your ego at the door, Nessa. You're not there to fight with the contestants. Yeah. Like, that's a true unprofessional, coming from one of the most unprofessional people in podcasting.
We are, after all, no press.
I just told the listeners to kick rocks. So two was when she, again, requested a round of applause. Like, we're not here to applaud the winners. Like, I don't need a round of applause. Although when you said how funny it was, like, it did kind of alter that a little bit. The third
was funny
when she,
in like a dark way, but yeah.
When she comes to talking about Nate and Nicole, the fact that she let them off without getting the story was she should be fired immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole should not have been allowed on stage without being willing to tell me the story. And I'm sorry, you signed up for reality television. You sold your story. I'm willing right now to tell you about any of my exes you want to know about. Like, get on stage and spill the tea.
And guess what, Nicole? What else are you possibly there to talk about? Okay. Like, what else are you there for? That you're there because you were in a relationship with Nate and it blew up in the offseason and we need to know why. That's why you're there.
When she got away with saying, I don't want to talk about it, I was just like audibly booing.
Yeah.
And my friend had gone to bed, so I was just alone booing at the television.
Boo!
Yes, that was just actually as deep and as masculine sounding as I was. Okay, sorry. So other things about the reunion you want to talk about? I need a cool off. I need an ice bath and then a puzzle.
We talked about it, but what about Wes agreeing with Bananas? I was surprised, shocked by that.
West?
Did I say West?
No, that was, okay, that was
I know that was a joke, but I want to make sure I'm not like going to be thought of as Dario saying the wrong thing.
I mean, Wes was absolutely wasted.
He wasn't as great.
And for anyone who thinks I'm speculating, he also tweeted that he had been drinking, as though it wasn't completely obvious.
Right.
I mean, kudos to West for who's always gonna, it's like West and John now. Mm-hmm. Kudos to West for just like saying it because he had the opportunity to like shit on Bananas. Apparently on Vevmo, there were like behind the scenes, like reunion spoilers or not spoilers, but like additional information that was cut from people who attended, who said that West like said that he bumped into like Nani and Bananas having lunch and like sat with them for 2 hours. Like apparently they're getting along now. Whatever. I would love for them to work together. So sign me up for that season.
Yeah. Not likely.
Were you surprised?
That about which part?
I don't know, just anything. I'm just like coming off of like a really big rage blackout.
I thought Sarah came across really bad at the reunion though. I did. Like with her storming off and crying, and her whole speech really did come across as like a poor Sarah speech. I didn't think that was a good look for her at all.
Oh, I actually disagree with that. Like, I thought once she finally started talking, she was fine. But I did relate to Sarah because it's like, you know, she went in there being like, I'm not going to succumb to this. I'm not going to give him what he wants. I'm not going to give him a reaction. And then when she does, and he does that, like, and then you're going to talk, like that little baby shit, Bananas, juvenile, piece of garbage thing. And it's like, so she just runs away. I mean, the storm off with her, like, vest cape was priceless. But my heart went out to her there because it's very hard to face something like that. Given the fact that when she did nothing wrong last year, she also had to face that, if not worse. Mm-hmm. And she knows that MTV basically will do anything to support Bananas, and she's going to be made to be in the wrong. Although I don't think that's what really happened, but I could see her coming in like that. And I did think when she finally started talking, she made a lot of sense. She laid it all out, how it was different. I gave you the opportunity to compete. We worked together. You needed me and you screwed me. And she said, I left my, and she said, as did you. And Bananas is like classic guy mode, only hears the one nugget that he can retort on. And it's like, oh, well, like I didn't have to do that too. And she's like, I literally just said that. So I wish that Sarah could have kept her cool more, because when she was not like grieving, she made sense to me, but I don't know that I would have had one word without tears, so I can't say I would have done better.
Her saying though it wasn't about the money is the biggest load of bullshit in the entire world. It's obviously about the money. If there was no money involved, then you wouldn't be upset. If they gave out championship belts and he just stole your championship belt, you wouldn't be upset. You were mad because there was money involved and he took your money. That's
definitely
why
both. I definitely agree. It should have been like, I needed this money,
yeah.
You know, and I earned it.
I mean,
I earned it with you.
She was tweeting out her website to buy like anti-banana merchandise to make money. So yes, it's about money. It's always about money.
Which she was selling prior to the final. If anybody wants to bitch at her about spoilers.
Yeah, more
anyway,
spoilers.
No, but I mean, I don't want to keep bringing up my experience on Survivor ATF because it really was not a big deal. But in just in terms of, like, I get it, the way she was saying, like, the cool kids invite you in and then they screw you. Like, that is what we've been saying about Sarah all along. And we've been criticizing her for it. Like, she always buys back into Banana's bullshit when she gets accepted by those people and she got burned by them. And it does hurt when somebody acts like they're your friend and then they screw you over for whatever price. So I don't think that that wasn't a factor at all. Like, if someone screwed me over, it would hurt me, but it would also hurt if they took six figures. For me. Mm-hmm. So or five. I do think you're right. Like, it definitely shouldn't have been, oh, it's not even about the money, but it also, I do believe that it did hurt on a friendship level.
Sure. But it was mostly about the money.
Well, let's keep digging into ways people have screwed me over and I'll convince you. I've lived a troubled life. Okay, that's not even true. Nick Sabetta says, why does nobody ever ask Nani's thoughts on what happened on X's 2? This I thought was really interesting.
That is a good question. I don't know. Why don't we get that?
We literally never go to Nani about, like, you got screwed over in this too. Like, how do you feel about it?
I mean, they didn't really, because they did ask her, like, do you think he would do it to you? And he was like, yeah, obviously, easily. That's, like, the closest we're going to get.
But, yeah, so I think we both agree that, yeah, this X's 2 thing is just, like, such bullshit for Johnny to lean on. In my opinion, he needs to just be, like, owning it. And it exactly what he said in his speech. Our rivalry is squashed, but I'm taking the money. And if he said that, I'd be doing a way different podcast right now.
Take the money and run, Teach. Whew.
Cha-cha-cha. Anything else interesting? I mean, I already bitched about the Nate and Nicole thing. Oh, we have to get to the Camilla segment. Jennifer O'Hara says, did they really just bring Camilla so they could show that footage of the bathroom?
I think so, right? Although, I mean, I don't think she contributed the entire time, everything else. So, yeah, that was her purpose there.
I don't mind, before we really dig into this moment, I think one of the reasons that the reunion seems so sparse or boring to some people, it's like, because we have these after shows, and I actually appreciate that Tony wasn't there, but that it wasn't like, Camilla and Tony, let's talk again about what we already talked about.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Nani and Nicole stuff. Like, we didn't have to rehash that.
Right. Exactly. But on the topic of the bathroom shenanigans, the alleged bathroom hookup heard around the world, Michelle Dola says, after show question, did you find the Vince Camilla shower footage a bizarre segment? Did you find it believable?
It was super bizarre because I really don't think anything happened. Like, maybe I'm super naive, but those two seem very, like, even killed, dead space. Like, nothing happened. You're making so much out of this, nothing happened. I really don't think anything happened.
Yeah, no, I totally didn't buy it. I thought it was a complete waste of time, very awkward, with absolutely no payout. And the fact that Nessa, like, got so into it with her, it's like, let the people who were there call her out, Nessa. You have no freaking clue.
Your job as the reunion host is just, like, toss out a question and then stand back and let them fight. Like, you're not supposed to be involved.
Where is
especially Azuri? Especially in this question. Like, at least if you're going to get involved in the Banana Sarah stuff. Who the fuck cares if Camilla and Tony hooked up or Vincent hooked up?
Okay, so Kirby Alberto and a lot of other people had this conspiracy theory. Camilla was obviously in the bathroom waiting for Bananas. That's why Vince kept trying to get Johnny to wink, wink, take a shower.
That's the most believable story of that. So why didn't you bring that one up, Nessa?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, like, what a big whatever on this. Like, then Camilla had to say she was pooping. It's just like this whole, like, slew of embarrassing things. For, again, zero payout. Like, all they had was that he's in the shower, he leaves the shower with the water running, and then she leaves. Like, it was weird, but they're also absolutely wasted dum-dums with, like, no responsibility to pay for the water bill.
But that was actually really funny when he was like, Vince asked him if he's going to shower. He was like, no, I'm sleeping, dude. I'm not going to shower.
I mean,
that was
again,
actually funny.
If I have to believe that anything happened, it would make sense that, like, Vinny's, like, teeing up the secret hookup. But Bananas is not this sloppy, like, considering that he's hooked up with many people allegedly and we haven't seen it. I don't think he's like letting Vince do his dirty work here as the most like inconspicuous person.
Yeah, well, adding more people to try to have a under the radar hookup is never a good idea. So
Jim Rosario wants to know, I've only had male roommates, so I have no idea about this. Do girls poop in front of their platonic male frenemies?
I guess so. I never had common space bathrooms like out in the open before like that with a girl, so I don't know.
I am so uncomfortable even talking about this, if that gives anyone any indication. I don't even pee in front of my female coworkers. Like, I wait until everyone leaves the bathroom. Mm-hmm. So, no, I would never go on national television and be like, I was taking a dump and Vince was in the shower. Like, the fact that she had to say that was like, I was embarrassed just by proxy.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to, like, crap with a guy in the shower, like, next. Like, that. I want my own space.
I have a very, very funny college story about a guy pooping while another guy took a shower, but I'll tell you off air. So, yeah, we both agree, Vince and Camilla, that's a no-go. Mm-hmm. I did think a very cute moment that came out of this is when we see, like, Devin and Camilla in the truth booth. And
yes, that was funny.
The effects were, like, just as good as they were better. Aria the One.
They were flashing the light and stuff like that. And how about that? When they put it on the screen, there was no, like, big yellow bar to reveal when it got to commercial if they were perfect match or not.
And, no, that was great. But, again, I do think that this reunion lacked joy. Like, that was, like, the only, like, fun moment, in my opinion. Okay, like, the Wes and Bananas thing.
I think it was so clear that the Bananas and Sarah part went for so long. And then everyone after that was just so emotionally drained that, like, trying to get humor out of it was, like, pulling teeth.
I, like, couldn't disagree more.
Really?
I don't think it went on, like, for so long. I just think that the after shows eat up, like, the bonus stuff that they could be talking about otherwise. So they have nothing. Like, the fact that they had to do those challenged awards just shows that, like, it was actually planned that they would have absolutely nothing to talk about. And it doesn't even seem like they had fun scenes. Like, that the boys dressing up as girls was already aired on the show in the Mitch Watch. And then the fact that they had to show that Wes and Bananas, like, spoon cutting board thing, like, that usually would have been in a big montage of things we didn't see. The fact that they stopped and discussed that, which required absolutely no discussion, just showed to me that they were, like, are hemorrhaging things to talk about because they used them all at the after show.
Okay.
I don't even think the Banana Sarah thing went on for that long. Like, I didn't feel like it was like, oh, are we still talking about this? Like, it was the biggest thing to happen.
Sure. I really just think, I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought they probably talked about it for such a long time. Would be my guess, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. These are professional TV people, and I just think none of the stuff they had to talk about was fun at all. The challenged awards, I thought, was the challenge deserves a challenged award for producing that moment.
I would like to see an actual challenge awards, but with, like, much better categories and stuff.
No, but it was, like, challenged, and they weren't even the most challenging moments of the season. Like, idiots. All right, well, let's make this podcast fun again and talk about the big Adderall rumor.
Yeah. So this was Sarah dropping this bomb during the reunion, right? And it was cut.
Unaired, yeah.
Unaired part, because it was cut from the airing of Sarah said that Bananas was caught with Adderall on him, I guess, and was fined $5,000. But I don't think anyone else confirmed it, right? No one other contestants confirmed it.
Yeah, so there was an article in the International Business Times. I'm just seeing if there's anything to keep going on. Apparently, MTV says there's no proof to back up her claims. So all of this is reported by Sarah. And then what's funny is that Johnny responded apparently during the reunion, lose with class, man, which is like Nick Sabetta pointed out, like, wasn't it his whole thing of, like, she didn't lose, she still gets the win, which is all that supposedly matters to her. So be consistent, Johnny, be consistent.
Oh, I was going to say, just like, Bananas didn't exactly lose with class last time around. So that is the bigger hypocritical part, but sure, that too.
So yeah, rep for the show reports that there is and has not been any truth or proof to prove this. And I'm trying to see if she went on to say to speak directly to the audience members, questioning her co-star's sanity, saying this isn't real. These people are out of their freaking minds. They need therapy, which
that's true.
Well, a future mental health professional needs to not start diagnosing everyone. Like, that's what bothers me about Sarah is, like, okay, sure, she's going to grad school for it, but, like, there's nothing more irresponsible than, like, screaming like it's an insult that someone needs therapy. Mm-hmm. It's not an insult. Everybody could benefit from it.
And guess what, Sarah? You're in that world too, so you're not that much better.
All right, so what do you make of this?
I mean, it's probably not true, but I can easily see it being true. I can easily see Bananas doing this. 100%. I could see him doing it because I can see him doing anything to get an edge, but I don't buy it.
A couple of things. I really try not to think a lot about the fact that people who need prescription medication are not allowed it on shows like this or like Survivor, you know, at certain times. If they'd like enhance your performance at all, I do believe that Bananas could easily have a prescription for Adderall and need it. And it's like not necessarily fair that he has to go off his medication, let's say. Mm-hmm. And like for someone like Sarah, who doesn't need medication like this, it's much easier for her to focus in these challenges. And he's at a severe disadvantage, like actually, if he has ADHD. That said, you signed up. These are the rules. I totally believe this. Because I just don't, it's so specific for her to make this up, right? Like, I think in this case, if he was docked $5,000, I also see MTV doing that, like only docking him $5,000. I bet their contracts say something to the effect of like any, you know, breach of this contract is up for like the discretion of the producers. Like, you know, like they don't actually have to be terminated if the producers don't want to do that. So the only thing remotely similar, and this is not the exact same, but on a season of Ink Master, one of like the best tattoo artists was kicked off the show because he'd been smoking weed. And that's what I think should have happened. If he actually was found with any drug that was not allowed, prescription or otherwise, then him and Sarah should have both been disqualified immediately. Vince should have gotten first place money and Devin should have gotten second place money and Jenna and Cheyenne. But I don't have any faith in the show to actually do that if that were the case.
Yeah, that would be really tough for them to do. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know the full effects of Adderall, but isn't there a crash after it? So like if he did it, wouldn't he crash at some point during the final? And wouldn't that be a bad thing?
I mean, I think the benefits outweigh the possibility of a crash. I don't know exactly, but the final is only, what, 2 days?
Like, how long does Adderall last for?
I think the benefits of being able to stay awake and to focus on the puzzles are better than not.
The little extra clip of him, like, rambling on like a lunatic about some story kind of adds to the Adderall accusation.
And then this is total hearsay. I'm actually debating whether or not we should even read this on the podcast. This comes to us from Raisa Hirji. If you want to tweet at us or Facebook us how you know this information, please let us know. Until then, this is totally an unsubstantiated claim by one of the listeners. He did not have a prescription for it. He hid them in his jacket pocket. So I guess maybe if he had a prescription, it would have been allowed. I don't really know the rules. He hid it in his jacket pocket and had two, one for him and one for Sarah. But he didn't end up giving Sarah one because of the twist, and production found the extra one.
How does this person know that?
Again, I don't know. I love to hear. Again, I'm just reading the comment. I don't put anything behind this at all until we hear from this listener. Man. I will say there was a comment that Bananas made during the behind the scenes special of like, what was it called again? Like the road to the challenge or something where he was like, you can smuggle things in your butt. It's amazing how much fits up there. Not a great thing to have said when you're then accused of bringing drugs in.
At least he brought one for Sarah.
That he then withheld.
And well, it's the thought, which is just the thought that counts though, right? No,
no, it doesn't. That's literally just bringing an additional one for himself because they were a team. I see you do exactly what Bananas does, which is so funny because exactly what you dislike about Bananas
is a joke. I was trolling there.
No. I'm saying I'm trolling you now. Well, everything that you dislike about Bananas is the exact same thing that you do in this podcast. And it's so, so sweet.
I don't embrace being the villain. I don't realize a villain.
You tease that you might be coming around, and then you say something like that's just like so pro bananas. It's not even funny. And then you're like, no, but he did that. And I was like, oh no, but he's
that
the
was
goat.
A joke. Hey, look, if he brought it, if he actually brought in Adderall, yes, that is a big problem that MTV should have handled. Probably more than just like a slap on the wrist, considering of how much money he got.
So Jim Rosario says, who's a shoe in for next season? Who needs to sit one out?
I would like to see Banana sit out next season. I do. I want to see what a season will look like without him next time. I do want to see him sit. So there's that.
Who's a shoo-in?
I mean, from like the newbies that started this time, I want to see Ashley come back 100%. She needs to come back. I want to see Amanda come back. I want to see Devin come back. Yeah, there's story.
If anyone's interested, there's like the rumored call list that went out on Vevmo. You can find it. But yeah, that doesn't really mean anything because more people get called than not. Mm-hmm. And who knows if that's reliable, but it's there for you if you're interested. Jacob Keek says, with Bananas winning his sixth, people call him the best. But if you had to pick one person to win the challenge for your life, who would Bananas be your number one pick?
Yeah, he would be.
Fair enough. I'm not having some man come in and play the challenge for me. I'm going with my girl, Emily Schramm. Have you seen her recently? Hot damn.
It's pretty good.
She's my pick.
There you go.
I'm not having some old dude come in and play for me. I'm a young female. I'm not having some dad come in.
There's also a difference in the question of if you're starting a season from scratch, who would win and like who would win in like a single elimination battle or whatever. Like those are two very different questions.
Do you have two different answers?
I do.
If you're asking
me like who would I take in any single elimination, I would take CT. If you're asking me who would win a full season of the show, I would say Bananas.
That's interesting. I'm going Emily either way. I've ever since I had a look at her for that backpack that she invented for that whatever game we played last season. She works out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tough chick.
I don't think Bananas is the best physical guy competitor the show has ever had, but that's not what this show is just about. There's so much more to it, and I think he's the best at adapting and building trust where there should not be trust at all and just getting things to go his way. I think he's the best at that, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, no one's begrudging you your choice here.
No, I'm sure I'm going to get pushback on that, so I just wanted to clarify.
I don't think you're going to. I mean, look, I don't like Bananas, but I'm not going to doubt that he'd probably be the safest pick. Like, again, it's all within context. Mm-hmm. Emily Crow says, if Nani, Camilla, and Nasera announcing their retirement, what will their legacies be? Just to point out, Camilla did not retire.
Right. Did she? I thought she had an Instagram saying she retired. No,
she did. But then she tweeted like, remember when I was like, I don't think this is a retirement. This is just her reflecting. And then she tweeted like, I didn't retire.
OK, so there you go.
But Nani is going to school. Sarah, this is now her second retirement. So let's eulogize Nani and Sarah.
Nani would be one of the most entertaining women that's ever been on the show. But like a what if physically, if she just focused like in an off season and dedicated herself, what could she have been? Sarah would be one of the best females there's been, but not like the upper echelon, but very, very, very good.
Yeah, it's a shame. Sarah should have stayed home this season. Sarah should have retired, gone with her gut. I'm sure she got a huge pile of money to come back. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like leaving a legacy, I think last season would have been, she should have said I choose not to run.
Yep.
In this season. And then for Nani, I mean, again, I think Nani stayed too long. And this is with, okay, like obviously you're going to come back. It's a free vacation. You get paid. You're on TV, whatever. Again, in terms of your legacy, like I don't think Nani's been entertaining in a couple of seasons. And so like when you said she's one of the most entertaining, I was like, what? And then I thought about it and you're like, you're right. But not this season and not the season before.
No. I'd agree.
So she overstayed her welcome. Mm-hmm. Just from a legacy perspective. Okay. Emily Crow also says, do we have any idea about the next season or possible participants?
I mean, you mentioned the possible participants, which is very, very vague. And the seasons, I haven't heard anything. I mean, I would love to see like a real world road rules, fresh meat, are you the one, cutthroat season?
That's not this question.
Okay. So, then, no,
so no speculation on what there actually is going to be.
No, I haven't heard anything. So,
yeah. So Ashley Bedazzle, it's pointed out.
Are we
it's
allowed
also
to say, or is that spoiling things for the entire show?
So Ashley Bedazowicz and Wikipedia say the filming is scheduled for October 1st. So that's the only, again, and then the speculative list of contestants or calls went out are on Vevmo. So now Ryan Nicosabetta says, with this season being over and there not being any information about a new season, what is your ideal theme for next season? What parts from different seasons would you want to make a return to the show?
I would love to see a real world versus road rules versus fresh meat versus are you the one season. I think that'd be great.
I disagree only because I want them to be forced to work together. I think we touched on this last episode, but who even remembers? So like, I'd want like an inferno, like a good guys versus badasses, like anything that just like moves the people around together. So it's not just show alliance. We're not relying on show alliances or shows to be separate. Like I want to just put everyone in the pot and then the next season they come out like having already worked together and having established relationships.
Speaking of the good guys versus bad guys, someone tweeted this to me yesterday, but fun fact that Bananas was on the good guys team back in the day, so there's a good one.
Yeah,
there you go.
Things can change. So I'd also like to see a free agents. I just thought that was a really good season.
It was.
I wouldn't mind it coming back. And I usually, every season we've been podcasting, I feel like I demand a fresh meat. This is the one I don't want a fresh meat. And it's not going to be one, but I feel like I really think they've brought in a lot of new blood and we need to let them kind of marinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Especially with the Are You the One pool and the last couple of real worlds they haven't integrated, so.
I think it's more likely to be kind of like show divided, but I think it would be more fun moving forward to be shows integrated.
Gun to my head, I'll say it's Real World versus Are You the One, though. That's my gun to the head prediction.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. That's what I said. Yeah. It's more likely to be something like that, yep. But I think it would be a mistake.
Especially since the way they hinted at it throughout this season of like building that divide.
But they're going to have to come up, as we've said a million times, with some kind of kitschy name that includes the bloodlines they want back, Vince, Camilla, if they want her back.
Right, right.
All right, so anything before we get to Twitter?
I don't think so. Twitter should be pretty hefty, so what do you got?
So what's funny to me is, so Bananas was wearing a shirt that said Rotten Banana, and that's been like Sarah's whole like merchandise push. And so then he released a shirt that is his like image banana with the bandana and the glasses with a big red arrow, like a big no sign through it, and wrote "Hate me, prove it." Banana with a gun emoji, which is a questionable thing to put. And
don't put that on the internet, there, Bananas. People are crazy.
Well, no, to buy the shirt, and Bananas is like, what's so frustrating is like Sarah can't win here. And again, I'm like feeling the frustration that I felt in situations like this, where it's like you can't. You know, get to someone in the way you want to because they're just doing it better than you. And that's what happens here. So then the Brain Candy podcast, aka Sarah, is like, this looks familiar. If you guys want the original design, go to my website. Like, he's just owning it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that sucks for her. Then Bananas took a picture in that shirt with big stacks of money pressed to his ears and wrote, sorry, haters, I'm having trouble hearing you. I have money coming out of my ears, and which is something similar to what Sarah said last year. Like, I'm too busy counting my money. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, or last year, a couple months ago. And Sarah said, you stole yours, I earned mine. And there was like a lot of shit like that that just, you know, follow them. Kara, though, got into it. And thanks to Anna Jose for pointing this out to me. And it's pretty great. First, she responded to Vinny's bathroom escapade and wrote, at Vinny Pig, when you tweeted, quote, or you could cheat on your BF in a public bathroom on national TV, and then did the same shit to your GF. So Kara's running with this and hoping for the best. She also said, I don't take Advil for a period cramp, but my eyes have certainly seen plenty of pills passed around like candy on the challenge. And then she also said, kids, just say no to drugs unless they help you win the challenge final and you only get fined $5,000 out of your $250,000 theft. LMAO. And then someone like pushed back and she wrote, doesn't that keep you awake and help you memorize things? I never had that on my finals to stay awake.
Kara's always good to chime in from the clouds when for things not concerning her. So she's good on that.
And this is the only other thing I pulled. This, I think, is the number one hot story going on Twitter. Oh, no, there's one other thing I pulled. But this is still the number one hot thing going on Twitter that I pulled. Johnny tweeted out, it appears that even Susie Meister, Brain Candy Pod co-host, agrees it was a game move. Hashtag rotten banana. And then tweeted screenshots of a Twitter text conversation with Susie saying, so Susie says, maybe when we spoke today, I just couldn't figure out what made her snap in a more physical and obvious way. I think she should be mad at production, if anyone, not you. Oh, well, all's fair, dot, dot, dot. And he wrote back, all's fair, unless you're Sarah. Thanks, Susie. And she wrote, sorry, it got so ugly. I just hope she moves on. It's not that serious. And then she said later, you know, new text, that's ridiculous. I tried to tell her it was just gameplay, not personal. And he said, well, she took it far beyond personal. I tried making the same argument. And she said, I guess she felt that if she felt like that was her only hand to play, at least she went out with a bang or weird runoff set? Jesus, she needs to stick to civilian life. She'll be back for our taping on June 4th. I know I could abide by that. I would have done exactly what you did, and I've told her that. Weren't you guys friendly up until that final event, though? I don't know. It doesn't have to be a peace treaty, but some gimmick where we apologize or something. I'll brainstorm, and you can see if anything feels right. And he wrote back, you're quite the politician, Susan. Hashtag Meister 2016. Now, what I will say is that Bananas clearly took sections because this is not just a direct conversation. Like, some things don't make sense. You're missing what he said. But this is supposed to be her best friend. And this is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, not great for Sarah right there. Not great.
And for anyone who's alleging that he made up these texts, she wrote, I love good gameplay and support. I supported you. Sorry. I wish I could read. I'm sorry, guys. I love good gameplay and I supported your decision till I found out about your performance enhancing drug use that MTV fined you for, which is just like you still played your friend out hardcore.
And for the record, is she going to smite down Wes for his previous performance enhancing drugs use or no? When's that happening?
Look, I don't make the news. I just report it. This is also the second hottest story. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You might have to like take off a layer of clothing. Thank God this isn't a video podcast. Am I right? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, then if it was Sarah, then we wouldn't be able to film it. So it'd be good.
That was also amazing. All right. So this just happened at 1 p.m. right before we jumped on this podcast Friday. Are happening now. Spencer Pratt watched the challenge.
Yes, I saw this.
And the challenge wrote to him, what did you think? And Spencer wrote, I'm glad bananas emoji kept all that cash. Hashtag payback. The challenge wrote, ruthless. And then Sarah wrote, I see how you think that financial difficulties can make greedy people do selfish things. And then she double tweeted, I'd ask you for directions to the high road, but I don't think you'd know the way. And Spencer said, why don't you just go running off my timeline like you did that reunion stage?
Boom.
And then other things happened, but honestly, that's just like the biggest thing to end on. Susie wrote, my best friend at Sarah Rice. I don't know if she's your best friend, but okay. My best friend, hashtag I'm Sarah Rice, is in a Twitter feud with at Spencer Pratt, a TV game show, in case you wondered exactly how Z-list my life is, which I just thought was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Okay. I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking.
No.
I should have broken up these segments.
You're good.
No, my vocal cords are I'm so strained. I'm going to take a nap if you could stand on the stump for me.
Only if I could get the money in the end.
As always, I went back and listened to our preview podcast in advance of our final show here.
Just quickly on the wall, because I do have one other Twitter thing. Did you see TJ
Lavin?
Yes,
please. I only saw that he retweeted Sarah.
So, he gave his viewpoint and then like deleted it after. I guess he felt it was too controversial, even though it was like the least controversial thing he's like ever said, because he took a stand. But he said he didn't agree with what Bananas did, and he called it gnarly. And that almost made me reconsider my entire opinion. But
he wrote, he wrote, I don't agree with what Bananas did.
Yeah, he said people were asking me. He deleted the tweet. I didn't think he would delete it, so I didn't like screenshot it. I didn't think TJ deletes tweets. But
I've been like that. Yeah, you got to screenshot everything.
I know, I'm pissed. But he basically said, like, people have been asking for my opinion, and I don't agree with what Bananas did. I thought it was gnarly. Then he said, I could not have done that to what he did.
Well, it's too bad that he read his script that production told him to encourage the wolf. Right.
Yeah, he was like, people were like getting on him for that. He's like, I no way to encourage it. I hated what he did. I didn't like what he did. All that.
That's awesome.
There you go.
That is great. And probably the juiciest thing on Twitter that out-juicied Sarah and Bananas. Okay.
Running off my timeline's pretty damn good.
So I listened to our preview. I listened to it at like 1.5 speed, and we sound so much funnier because we're like much quicker.
Oh, there we go.
So I wish we could put the podcast out in 1.5 speed.
But maybe Bananas could hook us up with some Adderall.
Yeah. So I don't do drugs that are not prescribed to me, Brian.
Don't do drugs. Stay in school.
Okay. So what was very funny is, first I want to say that I started the show talking about a podcast I had done with Rob and Brent about RuPaul's Drag Race, and things come full circle, everyone, because Mike Bloom and Brent will be doing a RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star podcast that starts in late August, and they'll be doing a preview show that I will be on, and pending my law school schedule, I will be on as much as possible. So that is something exciting to look forward to. Mm-hmm. I forgot we'd even talked about that on the preview. That's breaking news. I don't even know if I was allowed to say it, but I do what I want here.
Is that the breaking news music? I don't know.
No, that was like Jock Jams. All right, but what was funny is we both like weren't really too jazzed to see Corey and Ashley, mostly Ashley, coming back. Not that we were upset about it, but we were like, man, never thought she'd be back. And now we both love her. One thing I will say that is crazy, because they wrote in Camilla's bio that she'd be hooking up with someone, and I was like, who could she have been hooking up with? Like, Devin? Vince?
Both?
Like, which were probably me just screaming at, like, the two most unlikely people.
Right.
We weren't too good at the predictions. We both really, really were overhyped about how like the different teams like would interweave and like work together against each other based on different relationships.
To be fair to us, we didn't realize it would take 7 weeks to eliminate a team. So yeah, I'm going to give us a break on that.
No, that's fair. But I do think we were more hopeful that like Jenny, like you brought up Jenna and Nani's friendship on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like we were more hopeful that there would be potential for Sarah to bring Wes and Bananas together as opposed to everyone just being with their male partner.
Right.
We also predicted that Ashley and Tony would be the one to hook up. And let me point out that Jamie was the veteran that Ashley was. We did a lot of speculating on what qualifies as a veteran. I think that's the most fun thing to go back to. We predicted Cheyenne and Leroy because Cheyenne's bio said that she would enter a flirtation with a high profile vet. Wow, that Corey is a high-profile vet.
The standards for... Basically, now Brandon is now a high-profile vet. So, shout out to him.
I said that Devin and Cheyenne would be the Are You the One team with the potential to stick around the longest. And you said they wouldn't survive an elimination. So, we were both correct.
Yeah, there
we
go. Look at us.
I also want to say that Nate was billed as a sexy veteran in Nicole's bio. And Nicole...
Wait, so how is Nate a vet? What is happening right now? How is
Nate... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nicole was billed as a sexy veteran in Nate's bio. And I believe Nate was billed as a hunky rookie.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't write that down. Someone was a hunky rookie, and it was like, are you kidding me? Yeah, we both were like, maybe they don't win because of Sarah's anger podcast, but we just hope they didn't make it about the Sarah Banana show. Womp, womp. Mm. And that's really, again, no one could have predicted what would have happened this season.
No. 8 weeks to eliminate a team and then spoiled in the end because of us. Horrible job.
I want to end this podcast with a question from Andrew Kirk.
Fire.
But before we do that, you know, you should podcast every season like it's your last. Who knows what the road ahead will carry, Brian? So thank you, everyone, for making this such a great season. Before we get to the last question and our usual wrap-up shit, we got really great feedback. I think this was a record-breaking number of questions. Took me a record amount of time to go through. Everyone's involvement makes this show what it is, and it's a lot of fun. Don't kick rocks. The opposite of kick rocks.
See, guys, this is what happens when Bananas is on the show. Don't wish him gone.
What?
Nothing. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, you have to explain that.
I was making because of what, but no, never mind. It's not worth it. Keep going.
No, it's I'll wait here all day. I'm not employed. I can do anything.
Damn it, you're not employed. No, it's just a joke about everyone like Banana's gone, but he creates the drama and the talk things to talk about.
What an amazing end to this podcast that I'm giving the audience credit, thanking Brian, thanking everyone, doing like a nice little wrap up. You know, who knows? We could get canceled. Anything could happen. And Brian's like, and let's thank Bananas for bringing us all here and giving us something to talk about. Yes. I couldn't think of a better way to end the show.
That's what
Brian.
I'm here for.
Okay. Andrew Kirk says, I'm going to stay away from the Bananas questions, at least one of the three of us will. Out of the 3 1/3 challenges you have covered, which I feel like we did more than a third of free agents.
No, I think that's about right.
Which one was your guy's favorite and which one was least favorite?
Free agents. Well, the season itself, free agents was my favorite. And then Bloodlines would be my least favorite.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I said free agents was my favorite. Then Battle of the X's, then Rivals 3, and then Bloodlines. Yeah, hard to believe. It's been over 2 years. Well, we skipped our podcast anniversary.
Yeah, look at us go.
Anything else on the season you want to talk about?
No.
I mean, I think you said all you need to say in that last sentence. You could have saved us a lot of time by just starting with that and then hanging up.
Well, we didn't really discuss this, but do you think Bananas is done?
No.
Okay. Yeah, neither do I.
I do think Bananas is smart enough not to retire. Like, that's the thing. You don't need to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to announce it because I think they come to him with the right amount of money. And why wouldn't he come back?
Right. I agree. He'll be back. Do you think he'll be on next season?
Hard to say. I don't even feel like I need him to take a week off, a year off or a season off.
There you go.
I just want them to do better casting around him or better manipulate the contestants to take up arms against him. Like, we had talked in our preview podcast about how we'd be debating every week, oh, was this the right time to take the shot at Bananas? Mm-hmm. When will they put Vince into the elimination, like, to take a shot at Bananas? And either they couldn't get it done because no one was winning on their side, or they refused to get it done. Yep. So it's like, I just need the other players to get better, not necessarily Bananas to have to leave.
Listen to West, people. Listen to West.
Okay. Let's see. Oh my God. People are blowing up our Facebook with the Spencer Pratt stuff. Bananas offered to buy him drinks. Okay. I'm going to focus. I'm sorry, guys. Update on our Are You the One schedule?
So we'll be back this week for episode 8. We'll also talk about a little bit of episode 7. And then apparently the week after that is a 2-hour finale, or at least just 2-hour episode. We assume it would be the 2-hour finale. It would be episodes 9 and 10. And
yeah, it's built. It's called like All or Nothing. So it really does seem like it's the end.
So then, yeah, we'll be back to close the book on that. And then we're dropping the mic on probably 2016.
Well, I'll be back with RuPaul's Drag Race.
There you go. I'll be dropping the mic on 2016.
Oh, it's been a good run. It's been a good run.
I wish it wasn't as compact because I do enjoy these shows and podcasting. I just like don't like it when it's all jumped together. It's like it's nice to have it throughout the year. And even like the 2 challenges, like back to back, wasn't a good job by them. So
it's almost like I bribed MTV because it couldn't have worked out better for me. Honestly, I leave for school 2 weeks from today. Are You the One will wrap up the week before I leave, and then I'm on vacay while I work my ass off.
Now I just have the fall to like just twiddle my thumbs and wait.
All right, let's take this baby home.
You can subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at busdriversyourout, and they can follow you
at Lash Tweets.
And like I said, we'll be back next week for Are You the One? And then keep eyes peeled for the next season of the challenge. Until then, Have a good one.